Look at Hebrews chapter 13. Title of the sermon, if God gives us 25 more years together. If. Now, if the rapture takes place, Brother Bruce is going to be the pastor. And Chuck Castle said he'll be over the Senior Saints ministry. And my son is going to be running the bus ministry. And so you guys have a great time down here. Cody's going to run the RU ministry. And Brother Austin Perry will be over the school. We'll be playing tag with angels. Now, please understand this. I read a book, and I don't know how accurate this is, that there's only a small group of pastors that founded a church that stay with the church after 20 years, the same church. Now, they'll go somewhere else, new pastor comes. There's not a whole bunch. What potentially happens if the church is not, number one, doctrinally sound and directionally sound? Like, what's the direction? The church can change like that. Many churches change. By the way, sometimes for the good, most of the time for the bad. And so if I have a heart attack tomorrow, it would be good if you remembered a few things that we say tonight. But 25 years, look at Hebrews chapter 13 and verse number 17. Obey them that have the rule over you and submit yourselves, for they watch for your souls. Do you know one of my responsibilities is to watch for your soul? Okay? I don't just get up here and yell and scream and occasionally spit. If you're in the front row, sometimes psh, spray. Just because I don't have anything else to do. God has given me a heart to watch for your souls. And we, by the way, there's many reasons. One reason, I love the people of Pacific Baptist Church. But there's another reason here. Obey them that have the rule over you and submit yourselves, for they watch for your souls, as they that must give an account. Okay? Every one of us, I'm a father. I'm going to give an account for my family. And those of you that are fathers and mothers, you're going to give an account for your family. You're going to give an account for yourselves. But as pastors and leaders, we're going to give an account for the people that God has allowed us to shepherd. For they give an account that they may do it with joy and not with grief, for that is unprofitable for you. Pray for us, for we trust we have a good conscience, in all things willing to live honestly. But I beseech you the rather to do this, that I may be restored to you the sooner. Now the God of peace that brought again from the dead our Lord Jesus, that great shepherd of the sheep through the blood of the everlasting covenant, make you perfect in every good work to do his will. Isn't that what we want to do, is do his will? Working in you that which is well-pleasing in his sight. That's also, what are we trying to do? We're trying to please the Lord through Jesus Christ, to whom glory forever and ever. Amen. Father, help us as we look at what you have done here in each of us as individuals, and then us as a local church. And help us tonight as we look forward. If you don't come back, and we would hope that you would come back soon, but you might not. And we don't know the day or hour. We don't know when you're going to come back. So help us with one part of our being, anticipate your coming soon, and then understanding that you might not come as soon as we think. And help us to think about the future and plan for the future and pray and talk about it. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. You can be seated. Part of the greatness of Pacific Baptist Church, in my humble opinion, is not all what has happened in the past, although we have a great past, and not all what's going on today, but God, and it's not the pastor's ingenuity or I have great planning ability, but God has given us, I believe, a great future. And the direction and the longevity of the future is exciting. We talk about it. By the way, you get what you emphasize. Mom and Dad, if you're talking about money all the time, guess what your kids are going to do? They're going to talk about money all the time. If you talk about Jesus all the time, the kids will talk about Jesus a lot. You get what you emphasize. You get what you emphasize in a church. You get what you emphasize in a family. You get what you emphasize in a ministry. We're not sure. We're not going to vote on it. We'll get a little consensus. I've thrown names out to identify the church building. I've mentioned the Whitman Gym. You say, who's Whitman? Whitman, is he a guy that gave a lot of money to the church? No. If you have a lot of money you want to give to the new building, we'll put your name up there. Whitman was the last Baptist martyr in England. But also, his grandson came here and started a church in Connecticut. And his grandson started the church. And then his grandson's son took the church after he pastored for 40 years and died. And then his grandson's great-grandson took the church. One family, or one, three generations, 120 years, and that church stayed faithful for 120 years. By the way, not many churches stay faithful for 120 years. And so we try to communicate that into our church, into the fiber of our church. God, by the way, we've studied church planting. Most churches have a cycle of about 30 years, and then they don't die in 30 years, but they begin to go into decline. And it's like death has set in. Wouldn't it be great if 100 years from now, this church, if Jesus doesn't come back, is still preaching the gospel in a faithful church here at Magnolia right off of Wardlow? Now, in the last 3 years, I mentioned this. It's been, our church has been, it's I say it's a little cluttered. And I don't mean cluttered like the chairs are a little cluttered, so although sometimes that happens with a building and starting another church. In the last 3 years, we sent, my brother was a real core staff member. He went to Laos. Brother Board, both of them were here 20 plus years. Brother Board went to Cambodia. So we've been in transition. But I really believe this, the greatest days for Pacific Baptists are ahead of us. If I can be like Dr. Hawking back there and still be, who is a living legend in my opinion, and still be alive and healthy and serving God 25 years. 25 years from today, I'll be about 77. 77, okay? If I keep drinking my carrot juice, keep eating my spinach salads and sprinkled with Snicker bar, I think I'll be okay. I never forget, Brother Fisher, we were talking about just some plans for the future, and he said, brother, he said, challenge your people to have a better resurrection. Challenge your people to be eternally minded. Don't hold on too tightly to what's going on here. Let me give you 9 quick points, and then we're all going to go get some beef sticks. Number one, 25, if God gives us another 25 years together, number one, what are we going to do? We're going to glorify our wonderful God in all we do with our lives. If, say why? Because he deserves it. I pray we would always honor our wonderful God all the years of our lives. He deserves it. He's the best. Amen. Number two, if we have another 25 years, it would be great for our marriages to reflect Ephesians chapter 5. That would be Christ-honoring and worthy of emulating. My wife told me today, the longest marriage in America, a couple, one's like 104 and one's 99. They got married as teenagers. They've been married for over 80 years. Okay, wouldn't it be great? Wouldn't it be great? If, let me see these, there's no hooks on these, right? Look above. Wouldn't it be great 25 years from now, how old are you, Brother Pineda? 36. He'll be 61. Let me see. Who's Ryan, how old are you? So you'll be about 64. Be great if a bunch of us, 25 years from now, Ryan's still hugging on his, where's your wife? No, don't tell me. Don't tell me. You told me last week she didn't come to church because you guys were fighting. Anyway, no, she's in Patch. I saw her. Wouldn't it be great? Brother Hardesty, be great. I mean, you're going to probably be up in your 60s or 70s up there. You're probably close to my age. Wouldn't it be great if a bunch of us are still serving the Lord around here with our grandkids, hugging on our wives, wives hugging on her husbands, being the Ephesians chapter 5 marriage, husbands loving your wives as Christ loved the church. Amen? So what do we want to do? We want to have quality marriages because our marriages are our picture of Christ in the church. Number three, to train our sons to be warriors. The Bible calls them valiant men for the cause of Christ. 1 Samuel chapter 16. I love David and the testimony of him as a young man. Then answered one of the servants and said, behold, I have seen a son of Jesse, the Bethlehemite, that is cunning and playing, and a mighty, valiant man. He was just a young man. Be great if over the course of the next 25 years, we have hundreds of young men that if somebody says, hey, remember that kid? Who is he? Oh, he's the son of Ryan Raw. He's a mighty, valiant man. Well, how old is he? 17. To train our sons to be warriors for Christ. By the way, some people don't like to hear it. I'm not trying to be I'm not trying to stir things up. We're not here to help kids grow up to be successful in the world. Now, if you make a bunch of money and you're a sold-out Christian and you're loving God and you're giving to missions and you're sending money to Africa and you're sending money to China and you help. By the way, Brother Wynn, he was here, the third-generation missionary last Sunday night. That church is about 6,000. Do you know Russell Anderson hires soul winners at that church? Yeah, the rich Russell Anderson, you know what he does? He's a real good investor. He says, listen, you know what? He said, my investment in Mexico brings a lot of dividends. But to train our sons to be warriors. Dads, let's train our boys to be warriors and do exploits for God. Train them to pay the bills and train them to take care of mom and train them to take care of the children, but train them to serve the Lord all the days of their life. Number four, to train our daughters to be godly Proverbs 31 ladies and mothers and godly wives for the glory of God. Proverbs 31, 29 and 30, 29, 31, many daughters have done virtuously, but thou excellest them all. Favor is deceitful and beauty is vain, but a woman that feareth the Lord, she shall be praised. Give her of the fruit of her hands. Let her own works praise her in the gates. And again, we don't want to go against the grain. We're not trying to be antagonistic, but you know what God wants our ladies to be? Mothers. Say, what are you good at? I'm good at being a mom and that mom, and then someone ought to say amen. What are you good at? I'll tell you what I'm good at. I'm good at loving my wife, my husband. I'm good at serving and helping my husband. I'm a great helpmeet. That's what I'm good at. And she ought to get an A+ in life. To see, by the way, we're not trying to teach girls how to be career women. We're trying to teach our girls how to be godly mothers. We're not trying to teach our girls how to be independent feminist. We're trying to teach them to be godly wives and mothers. Let's allow God and His Word to train our daughters and not the culture. Number five, to see God's multi-generational vision go to the fourth generation for many of us here at Pacific Baptist. I mentioned this morning there's a guy, I want to say he's somewhere in South America. He's out. I just like holding on to a fishing pole. He's 113 years old. And I went back to read it today. He has five generations of his children, his grandchildren, his great-grandchildren, and his great great-grandchildren. He's 113 years old. They call him the king of the village. Everybody in that village is one of his children, grandchildren, great-grandchildren, great-great-grandchildren, or great-great-great-grandchildren. His youngest child is 3. His oldest is 85. 4 wives. Okay? He got saved. They're now trying to get some missionaries into the village. But I started doing my math, and when I'm 75, Mary could have a baby, Joseph. Yeah. And if you have a Joseph Jr., he can have a baby. And so that would be me, you, Joseph Jr., and Joseph III. We already have John IV. We need Joseph III. Be great if we had a bunch of fourth-generation Christians walking around here. Yes, let's talk about it. Let's pray about it. Let's dream about it, and let's see it happen. Number 6, to allow Jesus to build a salty, bright, holy church here in Jerusalem, in Long Beach, so this community will glorify our God in heaven. I walked home after church today, after the Monterey Park service, and I'm walking, and we have a new man. Brother Bruce invited him. I think several other people invited him. He sits right over there. He sits in his chair, and he's had a stroke. And he came to church. He was here. He's saved, man. And I talked to him for a little bit. Then another guy walks up, and he comes to me. I don't know. I've never seen this guy in my life. He said, "I need you to pray for me." I thought he knew that I was a pastor. I said, "I'll pray for you." And then I witnessed to him, found out he was already saved. And I told him, I said, "You know, I'm the pastor right here." And he said, "No way." You know, people are looking for God's help. And by the way, you don't have to go far. This guy, he said, "I'm going to Afghanistan next week. I need you to pray for me." Listen, I was like the first guy he thought. He said, "I'm just walking around here, and I need somebody to pray for." I don't know. Maybe he's here tonight. I invited him to church to come here tonight. But to allow God, to allow Jesus to build his church, he builds his church, to be a salty, bright, holy church here in Jerusalem for his glory. We, Matthew 5, 13 and 16, ye are the salt of the earth. We're salt, Christians. We're supposed to be salt. What is salt? Salt keeps a family, keeps a community, keeps a church, keeps a county, keeps a state from spoiling. That's what God's called us to do. Jesus said, "You're the salt, guys. You're the salt of the earth." But if the salt have lost its savor, wherewith shall it be salted? It is thenceforth good for nothing, but to be cast out and to be trodden underfoot of men. Ye are the light of the world. God wants us to be bright Christians. Young people, when you have a clear conscience and you've not been messing around with rock and roll on your little technological things that you got on your ears, you've not been involved with pornography, you've not been sneaking around, you know what? Your eyes are bright. And when people see you walk around, they say there's something different about that kid. They're smiling, their head's up, their countenance is right. That is what God's talking about. He said, "You're the light. You're the light of the world." We live in a dark world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hid. Neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick, and it giveth light unto all that are in the house. Let your light so shine before men. We're not trying to be man pleasers. We're not trying to show off, but God, the God in heaven, Jesus said, "Let your light shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven." A church where the community says they are really different and they may be peculiar, but on the inside they say, "I wish I had what they had." Number 7, to fulfill God's great commission to bring the gospel to Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and the uttermost parts of the earth. I heard a sermon this afternoon. The guy was giving an illustration about soul winning. And he said, if there was an elevator shaft and there were little children, I'm thinking he's thinking an open elevator shaft. So I don't know. Maybe it's on a construction site or something. And he said, if there's little children playing over there, or if there's some adults there, or whoever, and all of a sudden you see from maybe the 12th floor that elevator shaft, the cable breaks. What are you going to say? Well, I don't want to bother them because they're playing. Or I don't want to bother them because they're executives. They might not understand how important this is. I don't think any of us would do that. You know what we'd do? We'd run and we'd scream and say, hey, man, you're going to get smashed if you don't get out of there. And God wants us to have the same passion and the same desire to get lost people saved in Jerusalem and Judea and Samaria and the uttermost parts of the earth. To do what God has enabled us to do in regards to the Great Commission. And by the way, we can say, Pastor, how do you witness to a Muslim? How do you witness to a Catholic? How do you witness to Jehovah's Witness? And I realize there's some techniques, if you would, for each group. But really, you know what you need to do? You need to get them lost. And I think the best way, and I'm not saying you shouldn't learn how to, you know, maybe have some skills in different groups and so forth. But really what the Bible says, you got to get them lost. And you know what you do? You come up to somebody, and let's say this guy was an evolutionist. Come on, stand up, son. Say, hey, man, how you doing? You know Christ? No, and he starts taking me around the universe. And he says, hey, I don't believe in that stuff. You know what you want to say is, hey, have you ever lied?
Yes, sir.
The Bible says if you have lusted, you've committed adultery in your heart. Have you ever lusted?
Is this on the record?
It sure is. They're recording it. You're the evolutionist. You're not my son.
Yes.
Okay. You've lied. Okay. Have you ever taken the Lord's name in vain?
Yes.
Okay. So you're a lying, lustful. Oh, wait a minute. Have you ever stolen anything? Like stolen money from your mom, stolen bubble gum from the store down the street? Have you ever stolen anything?
Once or twice.
Okay, you're a lying thief, a lying, adulterous, blasphemous thief. You can have a seat. Say, Pastor, what are you trying to say? I'm trying to say, you know what you need to do? You need to help people understand they're lost so they know they need a God, a Savior. The Lord has enabled our church to fulfill the Great Commission in a very unique way, to fulfill the Great Commission by making a great impact in our Jerusalem, to train hundreds of godly, sincere, God-loving soul winners to learn how to win people to Christ and to turn Long Beach upside down for the glory of God. By the way, we're just getting started in Long Beach. Amen. To fulfill the Great Commission by training God. This is our 25 years. What if we're still here 25 years? Let's train our sons to be warriors. Let's train our daughters to be mothers and train them to be wives and train our, and then fulfill God's Great Commission in a unique way. To fulfill the Great Commission by training godly men and godly women to win the lost and plant churches in cities in California. Acts 9:31, then had the churches rest throughout all Judea and Galilee and Samaria and were edified and walking in the fear of the Lord and in the comfort of the Holy Ghost were multiplying churches. That's why Brother Eric is here. To fulfill the Great Commission by training godly men and godly women to go to the 1040 window, the most neglected part of the world in Asia, to win souls and plant multiplying churches. The Pacific Baptist Church in Cambodia and Phnom Penh is probably the most, and we're not trying to be influential. We're trying to fulfill the Great Commission, but it's probably the church that is doing more for God right now in Cambodia. It's only 3 years old. We have a new team in Laos. We have a new team in Thailand. God willing, we'll have a team in China someday. Amen? Vietnam and Burma. Now, Pastor, what does that mean for us? Let's believe God has enabled us to see the vision come to pass. Be a believer. Don't be a doubter. By the way, do this. Don't be a negative person. When we Let me say something. Monterey Park right now is looking for a building. By the way, we had a great service today. Don't be negative because Monterey Park is looking for a building. You know what you got to do? Praise God. We started a church. God's going to give us our building in His time, but everything's okay. Don't be negative if all of a sudden the brother, something's going on in the Filipino ministry. Usually that's because there's somebody that's insecure. We're all one team going one direction. Amen? Believe God has enabled us to see the vision come to pass. Number two, I'll go quickly. We're done. Thank God that He put you in a church that has a vision for God's glory. I don't know about you, but I don't know about you. I'm glad that God has put me in a church. This isn't my church. This is His church. I'm a part of His church that has a vision for the future for the glory of God. Pray for that vision. Pray that we can see His vision come to pass. Ask the Lord, number four, how you can attach your passions to this vision. I saw Michael out there. Michael's a missionary to the Jews. We have a large Jewish population here in Long Beach. Him and his wife just joined our church recently. They're here. How and actually, Michael, I need to talk to you. I got your proposal. We need to work on that. We have Brother Pak. He's a Korean. Him and his wife, they're Koreans that speak Chinese. He's a doctor, and he's been going to Monterey Park every week. They're going soul winning. They speak the Mandarin language, and they don't just show up here. Obviously, God brought them here for a reason. Realize we will all have opposition. There's going to be opposition. You know, if you don't want opposition, do nothing, say nothing, you have no opposition. But as soon as you say, God, I want to be used, and as soon as a church wants to be used by God, there's going to be a... By the way, no friendly fire. You say, what's friendly fire? Hey, listen, we got the devil to fight. And we don't have that in our church, but occasionally it might happen. You know, maybe one of these staff guys might be fighting each other. But, hey, let's not fight each other. Let's fight the world. Let's fight the devil. Let's fight the flesh. Don't fight each other. Pray for the vision. Believe God has enabled us. Thank God that He's put us in a church with a vision. Ask God how you can attach your passions to the vision. By the way, you say, in a big way, but for example, if you play the flute, when we get in that new building, we need some more orchestra people to get in the church and to play their flute for the glory of God. Amen? Karina is back here. Karina, my wife, forwarded me the email about your vacation. She said, Miss Mary, do you think I should go to this country or should I go to Asia? And my wife said, what do you think, Joe? I said, don't call me Joe. Call me Dr. Esposito. No, I'm just kidding. I said, Karina is a core part of the church. I said, if she's asking to maybe go to Asia, I said, why don't you encourage her to go to Asia? Let her see what God is doing over there in Cambodia and in Laos and Thailand. You say, what are we saying? Attach your desires to what God is in His vision in doing this church. Number six, ask God what part your children are supposed to pursue in the vision. I challenge our people tonight, die to the American dream. Man, I'll tell you what, really, I need to drink more carrot juice. After reading about this guy, 113, I'm like, man, maybe I can live to be 90. You ever see a healthy 90? There's some healthy 90-year-olds. Jack LaLanne, strike one. Enjoy the journey because we're just getting started. Okay, I know it's hot in here. We're about done. Don't get used to what God has done and intends to do here at Pacific Baptist. Don't be a Judas. He saw miracles. He walked with God in the flesh. He sold God for a few pieces of silver. My wife, I type up my message, and then I send it to my wife or my daughter, and they configure it so I can put it in my Bible. I'm not smart enough how to do that. And she typed this up, and she said, Joe, I cried when I typed this message. because she's excited about what she believes God will do in our church in the future. Don't get used to it. Thank God that he's given us an impossible vision to accomplish for him. Impossible is just a big word thrown around by small men who find it easier to live the world they've been given than to explore the power they have to change it with God. Impossible is not a fact, it is an opinion. Impossible is not a declaration, it's a dare. Impossible is potential, impossible is temporary. I would add, nothing is impossible to God. Lastly, pray for more laborers to give up the American dream to fulfill the will of God right here at Pacific Baptist. I was, this morning, I was reading Hudson Taylor. And Hudson Taylor, he went to China. And by the way, when we see the multitudes, we'll be moved with compassion. I want to encourage people in our church, if you're going to take a vacation, you have a couple $1,000s, you might want to go to the mission field. It'll change your life. It'll change your heart. And I was reading about Hudson Taylor. And Hudson Taylor, when he went to China, and this was before the communists came in, and he went from city to city to city, and they begin to win souls to Christ and start churches in city to city to city. And he said, I can't do it all. He said, our people can't do it all. And then he left China, and he went back to England, and he would go to the universities. He would go to the schools. He would go to the churches, and he would plead with people. He'd say, listen, there's lost people in China that want God, but we don't have enough laborers. He would literally go to churches, and he would ask businessmen, listen, would you give up your dreams in this world and give up your career and give up your money for lost souls and for the glory of God? And literally men and women and families were selling their businesses, and they were giving up all their dreams. Why? For the glory of God. They were laborers for Christ. When Hudson Taylor died, there were 125,000 Chinese Christians attached to the China Inland Mission. 205 what they called stations. There was a little church. They would start a church. It would be sort of like a spider hub where they'd plant churches. And there were 849 missionaries that he would go. I've mentioned C.T. Studd in the Faithfulness Rally, how that C.T. Studd was a professional cricket player and made a bunch of money. He was from a very wealthy family. Excuse me, Hudson Taylor came and he came and challenged some young men in I want to say Cambridge University, and so many men went. And so what we need to do is pray for more laborers to give up the American dream. Let's bow our heads. Let's